Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. Yes, doing this again. Very exciting. So stoked to talk to one of my favorite people. She's amazing. Jenna McDougal of Tonight Alive, but she's back. She's back, baby. She's back in a big way with a brand new solo project called Heaven She. And I've spent time with Jenna. We did a co-headline tour with Silverstein and Tonight Alive. And she's just such a magical person. When you speak to her, you just feel her spirit. And I am so excited to help introduce this project to people because it just came out. She's played one show. She's only released one song. It's called No One Will Ever Love You. And this is just really, really cool. And I'm really, really happy to have her back on the show. And this is a great conversation. We get super deep into, you know, what happened with Tonight Alive and how the pandemic has affected them and maybe some rumblings of their future. So really exciting. If you're a fan of Tonight Alive, you're a fan of Jenna, you're going to love this. And if not, you're going to discover some amazing new music, Heaven She, coming out with more music coming at you real soon. Before I get into that, thank you again for being here. Thank you for listening. I know the main episodes have been a little bit few and far between lately. I've been a bit busy, but don't worry. There are tons of quality episodes coming all up at you really, really soon. And we have the new noise, which is also taking a little mini hiatus for the next few weeks. But don't worry, we'll be back again. It's just a great time, though. There's so much going on in the world. It just feels like a lot of things are coming back. Music is back. My band Silverstein, we just came back from Europe doing the festival circuit, and we're doing a big tour in the US and Canada with the Amity Affliction. Head over to silversteinmusic.com for tickets for that and VIP and all that good stuff. It's just a really, really, really exciting time. So thank you for your patience with me and the show. And thank you, of course, for your support and your love as always. However, the All Access Club, still kicking, baby. Sinnerfest is coming up this month. That's exciting. I cannot wait to hang out with all the people. If you want to join, if you want to join the club, make sure you check out leadsingersyndrome.com/all-access. Of course, that gets you tons of bonus content, merchandise, and access to an incredible, incredible community of other fans of the show, like-minded people, and it's been, wow, how many years has it been? We're up over 5 years of the All Access Club. It's just amazing. And shout out to all my sinners worldwide. I love you guys. I miss you guys. Anyway, let's get into it, shall we? A great conversation with one of my favorite people. Here it is, Jenna McDougal of Heaven She.
Peace. Hey, this is Shane.
Jenna, hi.
Hello.
It's been forever. How are you?
I know. It's been many years. I'm good.
That's
how are you?
So good. I'm fantastic. This is such a treat, you know, to be able to catch up with you after it's literally been like what? Over 4 years, I think, since I saw you.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. What is time?
It's bizarre. No, it's so nice to reconnect. Thank you so much.
Of course. And of course, you know, there's the big news about Heaven She. This is exciting. This is a very exciting time for you.
Yeah. It's actually, again, bizarre. Like, it's another one of those things that, I don't know. It's kind of a long time coming. And yeah, it just feels pretty surreal to be here now. But it feels like the course that was inevitable. So
I love it.
It feels like I'm where I'm meant to be. So it's exciting. How are you? What's happening in your life?
Oh, plenty. Plenty is going on. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll tell you later because I don't know if I want to get into it, if we're being honest.
That's okay.
It's my show. It's my show, but I'd like this episode to be mostly about you, if that's okay.
That's fine. Thank you.
No, but seriously, I mean, you know, what I love about this project so much, and obviously so far we only have one song, you know, so I can only gather so much about what exactly you're doing. But, you know, I got to know you pretty well when we did that co-headline tour 4 years ago. And over the years, you know, we had a lot of really great conversations. And this just seems so honest. It seems like you. It doesn't seem like there's anyone pulling you in any other direction. You know, watching whether it's the music video or the lyrics or the style of music, it just seems incredibly honest to who I know as a person, as you, Jenna.
Wow. That's an awesome way to be received. I'm so glad it's coming across as honest and real and genuine. I feel that it is. Yeah, it's definitely not coming through any filters or I tried to shape this project in ways that it just didn't want to be shaped. So this song, that the first one that everyone's heard was that pivotal songwriting moment where I was like, oh, so this is what it's going to sound like and I don't get a say. But it's kind of cool. Like, right. Yeah, it has a life of its own. Yeah, I thought I'd be doing a little bit of a different type of project, but no, I'm really happy with the direction, even though I didn't expect it.
Well, it's really interesting, right? Because, you know, you can't force music. You can't force art. You know, you can have an idea of what what you want to do, and you can have a sort of influence. But there's the, you know, you might have even in your mind, okay, this is kind of where I want to go. But the journey doesn't always take you there. And that's just reality of it, right?
Yeah, and like on the other side of it, you kind of can control art, but people will be able to tell. Like I think I have an ear for it. I'm not sure if that's correct or not, but you might hear an artist and you think like, it sounds like you really had a plan for this, and it feels inauthentic or contrived, and I can't really connect with music like that. I don't know if that's me being overly critical, but I tend to listen to music. Someone like Alanis Morissette, you would call her a rock artist, but she has an authentic voice. You can kind of feel that it doesn't sound like a whole lot else that's happening because it's just her, it's her heart and it's her poetry and it's her journal entries. And I just love when you can feel the soul and the essence of an artist and you just know that it's real and it's true and it's not mimicking something else. Yes.
No, it's not mimicking something else at all. For sure. You know, it is interesting too. You know, you hear it all the time with, you know, rock bands or punk bands or, you know, stuff that you know very well from your time in Tonight Alive, you know, in the scene. And all the time, you know, bands will be like, yeah, like this is our, you know, our heaviest record ever, or like whatever they'll say, you know, or our most mature record ever. And it's like, well, you know what? You set out to do that. You set out to force yourself to write whatever you considered heavy or you considered to be mature. And 9 times out of 10, you forced it and the record's not honest, and the record is suffers. Mm. And I think you're really right that people do see through that 100%.
Mm. Yeah, I think I've been there as well. There's definitely been times in my career where we've kind of forced, what do they say, like a triangle through a circle. Like you're forcing something because of influences around you. Yeah, I remember we did this songwriting session with like the singer of some sick 90s rock band, but the fact that I can't remember who they are, that's kind of rude, but it was an interesting session. And he was like, fans will always smell a rat. I just never forgot him saying that. And that happened to be in the writing sessions for the album cycle where we did polarize a lot of people. And the fact is there were external influences on the way that record was.
Was that Limitless?
It was Limitless. Poor Limitless, you know, like,
yeah,
it's so identifiable for that reason. Yeah, like kind of, it's one of those ones that kind of like breaks your heart a little bit, but they're honest moments, but they're not the moments that got the spotlight with that record.
No, so, for sure. Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting, you know, and I don't want to psychoanalyze you too much or really put things out there that aren't true, but you can feel free to just shut them right down. But you know, you got started so young in Tonight Alive, you know, and like being a female in like a male dominated world of whatever you want to call the scene, you know, there's probably a lot of people telling you like, oh, you have to do this or you have to be this way. Or, and as your career goes, oh, well, this is the obvious next step. And a lot of times there were those bumps in the road that ultimately, you know, hurt Tonight Alive and hurt your direction. But now, you know, you're just in control of this. And it seems like everything I'm reading about it, it's like you're on your own label. You're doing this yourself. I noticed that you're the only song writer on this song. Like you wrote this song by yourself, right?
I did.
That is like probably pretty cool for you, but also maybe a bit daunting.
Oh, I love it. Oh, no, I'm loving this feeling because like, there's been moments over the years where I wanted to claim full songwriter on a song and I didn't get that opportunity. But it's like I presented this song pretty much entirely finished. And that's the thing when you're in partnerships and stuff. You can't discredit someone else's contribution to your work. And as it's, you're a team when you're in a band. But
yep.
I'm the team right now as Heavenshee. And you know, I have supporting you know, freelance entities, you know, people that are supporting the project, but it's coming from one source, and that feels really, really good. There was like just what came to mind when we were talking about when you started talking about that was, we had one songwriting session like years and years ago where I think there were like five of us in the session, and I was like, this is weird. Like the fact that that song had five names credited, I was like, ah, like I'm just not personally into that. It's interesting when you hear a beautiful song and then you're like, oh shit, 11 people wrote that. I don't know why that doesn't excite me. That makes me feel like, fuck, that's so fragmented and like, but hey, it's I can see how on the other side, collaborative teamwork and all these different contributions of creative energy, like that's something to be celebrated too. But that's just not what I resonate with. So that's the whole essence of Heavenshee is like, it's all my choice. What's happening? That feels good.
There is something incredibly, you know, meaningful or honest about that one person that wrote that one song. That was their entire thing, that they had an idea, you know, and they had like a musical vibe and they had a, you know, a lyric and they put it all together themselves. That is like a true thought, right? Like in one person's mind, there is something kind of special and personal about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I won't take us around in circles on the topic. So happy to close out there.
Well, the other thing too, is you're playing guitar in this, you know, you're jamming out an electric guitar in the video. What is that, an old Gretsch? That's a beautiful guitar, by the way,
it is.
In that music video. I didn't know you were an accomplished guitar player. You know, I don't think I ever saw you play on tour. And then I remember you were doing, like, you did like a live stream I want to say, you know, sometime over the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was like, I watched a little bit of it and was like, damn, she's got some guitar chops. Is that something that you've been working on or something that you've kind of always had and just didn't really show off?
It's funny because I haven't got better at guitar since I was like 14, 16, between 14 and 16. I'm at that same level. I'm not a guitarist, but I always played it so that I could write songs. So,
right.
Yeah, I've had that skill, I guess, all like half my life, I would say, since music started to, yeah, take the reins in my life. So, yeah, no, I haven't. Honestly, I'm no better than I was as a teenager, but maybe I can keep time a bit better. But no, I just, it feels good to play guitar. And yeah, I'm just a rhythm guitarist, really. Not to say just. I admire like being able to be melodic and technical and stuff, but I actually don't have that ability. I'm not skilled in that way. I'm no longer seeing that as a bad thing. Yeah.
I don't think anyone needs you to shred all over this upcoming record or whatever, but you know, it is cool. And you know what? I really impressed me right away, you know, literally, when No One Will Ever Love You, that's the single, of course, when that song started, just even, you know, it's a pretty, you know, like you're doing a little palm muting intro, you know, singing over top of it. But some of the chord voicings you're using were actually like, you know, like pretty cool. Like it seems like that's not something, you know, super basic or anything, you know? So I was impressed.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it feels good. I actually bought a piano a couple of years ago, not being a pianist at all, but I actually kind of remember what inspired me. I just think it's on Facebook Marketplace. A lot of people sell pianos for like $100.
Yeah.
Or they go for free. I don't know if you've seen that, but that was my scenario where I was like, I feel a bit limited with guitar. As I said, I've never really diversified or like expanded my skill set there. So I was like, I could try something here. But yeah, on the piano, I just was writing like tens of songs like every week. So that really kind of got the creative momentum going for this project. And it kind of, it's kicked me off. I have a lot of material that I need to record basically because of the lockdowns.
Right.
Which, served me well.
Okay, so I don't know what you are at liberty to talk about with me on the future of this project. I know, you know, you've said basically you want this to be a full-time thing. You're kind of ready to, actually you say you're ready to thrust your creative life into the public space again is what you said. now, when can we expect, I'll just ask you, when can we expect some more music?
This month. I don't know when this conversation comes out, but I will have another song out. Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So July, we'll have another song. I want to release consistently and, I just want to get this project established and, get back in the studio. And I want to give people a song every month, every 2 months.
Cool.
So yeah, that's the goal.
So the plan right now is to release some singles and then maybe see about doing some kind of a full length album at some point.
100%. I'd love that. Cool. It's not something that's fully in the works yet, but it's not that it can't be. I have the songs. I really think I could be releasing 3 albums if I could get in the studio and turn it out. Like, yeah, I have the songs. So it's like that restriction of time and honestly money. So I'm happy to just be getting some momentum and some footing back in the world. And yeah, I am ready in that sense, creatively.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, you play your first show on June 10th.
Yes.
At the Crowbar. Great place. Love it.
Have you been there?
I've been there, yeah.
You played there. That's so cool.
Yeah. I remember there was the Crowbar in Brisbane.
Yes.
And I know. I'm very, I love the place. Oh. Love the place. Absolutely.
Yeah.
How was that? Obviously you've done plenty of shows, tours all over the world, all different kinds of settings, but for this to be your namesake, your thing, you're in, you know, complete control of this thing. Was it scary? Was it exciting? Was it both? How did that feel?
Yeah. I'm still processing it, which sounds kind of corny, but it really was like, it was a whole new experience. Like I actually came on stage and spoke first And then I played a few songs just with a pianist accompanying me. So it was super intimate and raw and like storytelling. And oh, I was scared as I prepared as much as I could. I wrote the songs years prior to this show even happening. So it's like, it's very connected to the messaging, but saying it in front of people and delivering the songs and, you know, kind of reliving some of the emotional stories was far out. And I did recognize a lot of people in the crowd. It was a home show. So
right.
It was intense, to be honest. I would describe it as intense. But it was just, it's just the beginning. I hadn't played a show for 2 years.
Right.
And prior to that, it was like another 2 years, essentially, or maybe about a year. So I'm hungry for more of that. I wanted to feel like home again, being on stage. And it's so bizarre to like be in separation from that. I don't know what your timeline's been like over the last few years, but like, never been off the road for more than 2 months. So for like 4 years, unprecedented.
From my perspective, you know, back in March of 2020, we were doing our 20th anniversary tour.
Wow.
You know, in the US, we were like 10 shows in, and it was, you know, that day when, you know, you found out Tom Hanks got it and Rudy Gobert, and they were shutting down the NBA, and then, you know, we had to go home, and it was really tough on us, you know, especially doing, you know, this like biggest tour of our career and celebrating 20 years, and we had a new record. Our record came out the week before, you know.
So it was pretty
rough. And yeah, and like I completely agree with you, you know, like obviously you've been doing it since you were like 18 and I've been doing it, you know, since I was maybe 20. So, you know, it's it does feel like it's kind of all you know. And then it's just 100%. In one fell swoop, it's like gone and you're like, what's my identity? You know? What am I supposed to do with myself and my time, and like, can I handle this emotionally? And you know, I think anybody that was in our, you know, doing what we do can definitely relate to that feeling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the identity crisis that you mentioned is so interesting, because that happened for me just before the pandemic, because we took the hiatus after the end of 2018. Mm-hmm. So 2019 was like a year off, but we didn't mean to be away for so long. It's just that time got sort of taken. But I had the identity crisis, and it was kind of such an important thing to happen to, for me anyway, to start. It just feels healthy to not be so heavily associated with what you do as who you are. Even though that's kind of a beautiful love letter, but like it has its sharp edge too. Like that's not necessarily always going to be a safe.
Totally. To throw a quote, another quote you said right back at you and ask you about it. You said it was really necessary for me to not be active for a number of years. This is in your press release. Can you talk about kind of why, you know, necessary is kind of a big word, you know, like, sure. You know what I mean? To use, like, was there, were you burnt out? Was there something traumatic going on? What kind of was it that made it necessary?
I see it as like, a rite of passage, like a coming of age thing that happened within the confines of the band and the touring and everything. But I didn't come into myself outside of being an artist. I don't know. I think I skipped a few steps, or maybe I rushed a few. It's hard to say because that was my reality, but it's kind of important for me, I felt, to come out of the world of touring and being an artist and being on and moving away from family and going interstate and like kind of getting into my nuts and bolts as a person and going into therapy and like kind of managing stuff that happened years ago but wasn't dealt with because you just kind of keep touring, keep making records, keep going. So it was kind of me becoming an adult. I felt that like a lot of my 20s were just an extension of my teens. So moving away and coming off the road was like, who am I outside of all that? Do I even exist outside of all that? Like, I had a lot of self-esteem issues, health issues. So it was just, it felt really important, yeah, to break away. And I really did gain a lot of stability because of that and joy. Like I felt alive, I felt young, and I felt like happy. And I didn't feel like that so much in the like last few years of touring with Tonight Alive as right. much. I wouldn't say. I think it was quite a distressing couple of years towards when we took the hiatus. Like the health and
yep.
happiness was pretty compromised, I'd say.
Interesting.
So,
you know, you would have never known that, you know, like, and that's the time that I kind of got to know you, and I knew you as such a like uplifting kind of, I mean, I don't want to, you know, get too crazy here, but like inspiring. It was inspiring to see the way that you treated people and the message that you put forth and the way that your fans, you know, gravitated to that and just how uplifting everything you were trying to do was, you know, so to hear that inside there was some feeling of being incomplete is kind of heartbreaking, you know, to me, and I guess to you it was worse, right?
Thank you so much. It's a really lovely perspective. Yeah. Like, do you know what's interesting is the tour that we were on together. So for people listening, the Underworld, and like that was our Underworld album release tour. And what was happening for you guys at that time? Was that an anniversary or an album? You had a new album come out at that time too in 2018, was it?
No, actually we were like a year into kind of our album cycle.
Sort of in cycle.
At that point. Yeah. Yeah, it was like beginning of 2018, I think.
Yeah. That was a really potent time for us, like for Tonight Alive. I think we hadn't headlined America for maybe, I don't know, a while anyway, but yeah. I felt like I was in a lot of pain at that time emotionally, but I was giving my best performances and like I felt like I was myself as an artist, but maybe not myself as a human. I'm not sure exactly. Right. I haven't thought about it for a while, but I just find it really interesting that 2018 was probably the most like distress I've been in my personal life, but the best performances I ever gave. Like I'm so glad that's the note that we went out on before hiatus. Like I feel like, yeah, I reached my Tonight Alive potential in 2018, which is kind of cool.
Well, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, as singers and everything, like it's a rocky road, figuring out, okay, this is my voice and this is how I sing in the studio. And then I go on tour and it's like way more difficult. And I, you know, we all have to navigate how we're going to treat our voices and our vocal health and how we're going to perform and everything else that goes along with it. And I do think that over time, I think we all get better, you know, hopefully, you know, and was that part of it too? Do you think that just you were starting to kind of maybe figuring out some of the things like in terms of the technical side of like your voice and your performance?
I wonder if it's just because like the touring was relentless. So it was like, I was just really warmed up like, as a singer. I thought, you know, I don't know. I could definitely watch videos back and go, oh, that's it. That's not as good as I thought it was. But
right, yeah.
It was more my performance. It was like what I was giving, what I was representing, what I was saying.
Right.
Just my delivery. I felt, yeah, I really felt in my prime, actually, in that Underworld era. But yeah, also it was kind of like just let it all out on the stage. That was really liberating.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'll throw another quote back at you. The birth of Heaven She is not the death of Tonight Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've mentioned the hiatus. I know, you know, I know there was like some member changes. One of you know, I never met your old guitar player that was not on that tour.
Well, my internal response is it's so interesting how you would have met us or toured with us at a time where he wasn't part of the band. Yeah. But, you know, all the music we were writing, he wrote.
Right, exactly.
The music we played, he was, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew that, I wondered if that maybe was part of it, you know. I don't know, but his, you know, if he had a big leadership role in the band, obviously, like, writing was a big part of it. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, I don't know if I really ever heard or understood exactly why the hiatus happened. But, you know, you have come back and now you're, you know, with a statement like saying, this is not the death of Tonight Alive. I you know, we are interested in doing things. Just walk me through like all that in the last couple of years and how it's all been and maybe even how the pandemic has kind of affected it as well.
I guess where it started was, it was really difficult when Fakayo left the band. It was kind of like a parent leaving the family. Like it was a big detachment happening. Like a dislocation. It was really scary. So I guess what did we do? Like once that happened, we started the campaign for the album that he just wrote and we just recorded together.
But
I guess we got into 2018 and it was a pretty dense year. We had three headlines and Warped and maybe some other stuff in between it all, but it was just big. But by the time we got to the end of it, I was feeling pretty snapped in half. Like I was quite unwell. And we were all kind of frazzled from having the member change and like all the dynamics in the band had to shift of responsibility and who was going to step up to this and that role. And there was a lot of tension and pressure and all this kind of stuff was going on. So it was kind of like, I can't do the next tour and I need to pull out of it. And I think it was advised that it was like, why don't you take 6 months? And why don't we just sort of say, sorry, everyone, we're going to go away for a while and
right.
catch our breath and get well. Because I think I wasn't the only one suffering at the time. And I think people probably see it like it was because of me. But no, there were definitely some instabilities throughout the band.
Right.
So, so we just decided to take that break. And basically, I haven't talked about this a whole lot.
That's okay, just
with all the lockdowns and everything, it's like, oh shit, where does this leave the band? The break became longer and longer. I was sort of saying, I'm more interested in writing my own music at the moment. I don't want to find a new sound for Tonight Alive's next record without our primary songwriter that we've written all our work with. I honestly was like, I don't want to make another Tonight Alive record without him. And it was never going to happen at that time. Yeah. So, that's a little bit of that story. But this year we've been kind of talking about how do we see the future? Is there a future? And what would it feel like? And what would it include and involve? And who would be a part of it?
That conversation's been
evolving. Yeah.
So with Wakayo and seeing if he's going to come back or have some kind of role in at least the creative process.
He actually instigated this conversation. So that's interesting. Yeah. Really surprising for us and for the fans as well, who've read a little bit about what I've said online. And we're just exploring it gently, softly, slowly. We're just like, how does this fit into our lives now that we've all established other projects and we're all doing other things with ourselves? And how much does that excite us? And what is there urgency for that? Or is it just a passion project at this stage? Or do we tour or do we just make music? It's just all in conversation at the moment, which is pretty bold to be talking about it when there's just no certainty. But the I appreciate
your honesty with it. And I think that this all, like hearing this all and knowing you and everything, this just makes so much sense. Honestly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, I don't know. I think like the one thing I was about to say was like, the whole pandemic and COVID and everything. I feel like for you, and I don't know what kind of toll that took on your mental health, because I'm sure it took a toll on all of our mental health. But the fact that you were able to take time away from maybe getting back into Tonight Alive when you guys weren't maybe not ready. You were able to take that time for yourself, work on your own music, develop this project now that's coming to fruition in an amazing way. At the same time, Wakayo and the other guys like having maybe a little bit of like missing it, a little bit of a reality check of like, hey, this is something important in my life. This all kind of coming back in the fold. It's kind of like a perfect storm, and it's kind of beautiful that like maybe everything is going to return and you're going to get something really special out of it. While at the same time having that break that you said you kind of needed for yourself. Right.
Yeah. And it just unfolded in a way that we couldn't have expected, which is interesting. Cause like, I think, one of the last songs on the latest record says like, we always get what we ask for, just not in the way we expect. So, we wanted the break, but it was like, oh, crap, didn't know it was going to be 3+ years. But I do imagine that when we write music together again, that it will be really special. And the thing is that we want to honor what Tonight Alive has been for us and for our audience as well. And there were discussions about, like, let's just finish this here, you know, we've lost these years anyway. And I never wanted to just discard it and say, okay, it's over now. Like, we went on a hiatus and now we're breaking up. That's, like, to me, that's ridiculous. And that was never the plan.
Yeah.
But if anything, you know, I at least I'd be happy to put one last release out and get on the road and, like, celebrate it. That's how I feel. And we'll just see how this all manifests.
Yep.
Because, you know,
yeah,
there's so many different voices and feelings and timelines now that need to align. Which is interesting because when you're in a band, everything, you always align for years on end, right? Like your passions, your dreams, your plans. Yeah. Everything's more in sync.
Yeah.
We're a little bit out of sync at the moment. So we'll just see how and when we sync up, basically.
Absolutely. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I appreciate, you know, you talking to me about all this, and
it really is great to
catch up. Now this song, No One Will Ever Love You, it's such it's an uplifting song, but it's coming out of what seems like a very toxic relationship or situation. Yeah. Is that accurate?
Right. I guess I feel it's interesting. I would feel guilty to call it toxic, but then I can see that guilt is like my codependence of not wanting to, shame, someone or something. But no, for sure, like there's so much bittersweetness in the song of saying like, no, you really hurt me and you did some things that were wrong, but I still wish you well. Mm-hmm. It's like an interesting dance. And this is one of like many breakup songs from this like family of songs I wrote over the last few years. It's probably the kindest one. And I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to tell different sides of the story through different songs. They're all waiting to come out, basically.
So are you friends with most of your exes?
I actually am. No, which
I
is
am
funny.
I am too.
I know. There's not many, you know, I don't really have many exes. But, you know, the poor things, they've got all these songs written about them. So, but no, it's nice to maintain these relationships because I've only, you know, there's only a couple of people that I've loved and well, they've had really significant effects on my life and who I've become. And yeah.
Awesome. I love it. I just cannot wait to hear more. The other thing I had, I've been jotting down notes as I've been talking to you, and you were talking about your show and how you were playing with piano and you got a piano and all this. Is there going to be a bunch of piano driven tunes in the future? Is this something that is, you know, is something kind of a new tone for you?
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. But yeah, a lot of the songs were written on piano and then kind of guitar was added. So, you know, obviously No One Will Ever Love You is guitar led and a lot of the songs are, but when I get back in the studio in a few months, I'll be working on some of the piano tracks and I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited because when I wrote the songs, it was for me. It was like alone in a room, you know, singing in the tone of voice that I sing to myself, not that I use on stage. Mm-hmm. So that affected the songwriting a lot. My tone of voice kind of changed a bit. And I don't really know where I was going with that, except that I did picture, despite the fact that it was so intimate writing the music, I did picture being on festival stages, like performing them. So it'll be a mix of those two energies.
That is interesting, isn't it? And that's something that almost never gets talked about is when you are writing a song, are you picturing that, like that live performance? Are you picturing like, oh yeah, you know, like I always find with a lot of rock bands, you know, as they go on, they get better at writing songs that go over better live because they're thinking about it a little bit more as like, okay, this is the part where like the crowd's gonna, you know, clap, or this is the part where there's a breakdown and this is like the mosh call or whatever. Right. So that's kind of an interesting thing that like, we don't think about that when we're like kids writing songs, but then once you become a performer and performing takes over the bulk of time you spend, then it does kind of find a way to kind of weed its way into your writing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm envisioning one of my fantasies about one of the songs that will come out hopefully this year, where I imagine being at a festival and having a drum line at the front of the stage where so obviously there's a band playing, but we kind of have a few other drummers come to the front with a tom, and like I'm part of that, and I'm like playing the toms like in this epic like bridge build up. And yeah, that's just one of my fantasies that I hope is fulfilled. You can definitely see when you can hear, like after enough years of performing. I agree with you.
It is absolutely, absolutely wild. Heaven She, the new project from Janite. So sorry.
Janite.
Janite's a new one.
That's never happened. But no, I can see Janite, that.
It actually strangely works.
I know.
that will hopefully be edited out. Heaven She, the new project from Jenna McDougal, is out now, everybody. The new single, No One Will Ever Love You, is out now, and there's more to come. Jenna, thank you so much for this. What else to tell the people before I let you go and get on with your morning, I guess, in Australia?
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Shane. This has been a beautiful conversation. And yeah, I'm grateful for anyone who's interested to be listening to this conversation and following the journey and, you know, checking out the music and, yeah, holding space. Like, it's a privilege to be an artist who has... Yeah, an audience that are just holding space and witnessing and supporting and enjoying the music and resonating. Like, that's actually a huge privilege that I've come to understand in the separation from it. You know, when it's so normal from the age of 16 that people respond to your art, like, but after 4 years of separation from that, like, wow, you realize how lucky you are that anybody understands you at all. Because, like, I think as an artist, sorry, I'm going on, but as an artist, like, the reason you write is because you probably don't feel understood in your life or family or relationships or place of origin type of thing. So to be understood and seen and heard is a privilege, and I'm so grateful, to be in that position. And I love making music, and I love you all, so thank you.
Beautiful words from a beautiful person. Jenna, thank you so much for taking the time, and all the best with everything. Let's play the jam. Here it is. No One Will Ever Love You.
Yes.
On Lead Singer Syndrome.
Thank you.
No one will ever love you as much as I do. You'll never forget those words when they're said to you. But I know now it's not fair. You had me believe that I'd be lost without you there. But I don't blame you, no, I don't. And despite the past, I'll always hope you're good. you're happy and filled with peace and love.
So there is new music from Heaven She, No One Will Ever Love You. A remarkably uplifting lyrical track for the title. But that's what she does. It's an amazing, amazing song, and I cannot wait for more coming. Jenna says more music coming this month, and she wants to keep putting out tons and tons of it. So make sure you head over to Jenna's socials, give them a follow. Heaven She on whatever you listen to music on, if it's Spotify or Apple, make sure you give that a follow as well. And hopefully we'll get some tour dates and you can see Jenna performing and talking and just doing what she does best, which is an awesome, awesome thing. Anyway, make sure you're subscribed to the show. Hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button, whatever you are listening to this on. Thank you for the support, for the love. Tell a friend, tell a loved one, go back, listen to old episodes. There's plenty out there, and we'll be back real soon with more podcasts for your listening enjoyment. I'll leave you with a tune. Let's go with a Tonight Alive song. Why not? There's only one Heaven She song. So here is Tonight Alive with Temple on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next time. Control, but control isn't real, and you never had it.
feels like such a cold control. If control isn't real, then I'll never have it. Yes, I know.